The Holy Gospel is recorded in the Gospel of St. John, the 8th chapter, beginning with the 31st verse. Christ here proclaims that holding to this truth is the only thing that will keep us free from the tyranny of sin-induced work righteousness. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." This is the gospel of our Lord. You will want to keep your bulletins handy during this sermon because we will be singing the four verses of A Mighty Fortress broken up throughout the sermon this morning. When we talk about singing, people seem to want to say and feel everything that they are thinking and that is going through their minds and their hearts in a song. For example, as a nation, we stand at attention and we sing our national anthem. The alma mater of a high school or a college is sung at special occasions because that alma mater expresses the school's ideals and its feelings. And lovers usually have their own special song, such as "I Love You Truly." There is a hymn which was written 490 years ago which expresses the faith of Protestants, particularly Lutherans. And the words and music of Martin Luther in that hymn, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God," say it all about the faith and spirit of Protestantism. And consequently, you will find that hymn in basically every Protestant hymnal. And since Vatican II, it is also sung in all places in the Roman Catholic Church. Luther used the 46th Psalm as a basis for the content of that hymn, that psalm which we sang after our Old Testament lesson this morning. And that psalm and that hymn which is based on that psalm is a hymn of confidence and trust in God as the ultimate victor. The hymn very basically is saying what the psalmist says in the opening verses and the closing verses of Psalm 46, "God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. Be still, and know that I am God. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." As you and I pause today to celebrate this anniversary of the Reformation, let's spend a few moments studying this psalm as it is restated by Martin Luther in a poetic form in what has been known as the Battle Hymn of the Reformation. When you and I sing "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God," we are saying that we indeed do confront a very fierce enemy who is called the devil or Satan. Now, since Christians and God are locked in a very vicious battle with him, this hymn of Luther uses military language in order to describe that battle. He talks about a fortress, a shield, and a weapon. And in our battle with evil and with the devil, God is our fortress. So let's pause right now and sing the very first verse of that hymn.
Deadly woe, deep guile and great with might are his dread arms in fight. On earth is not his equal.
In that first verse, Luther describes the fierceness of this enemy that we battle. He calls him an ancient foe, his craft, his scheming, and his strategy are great. Notice that his weapon is deep guile and great might. And what is his goal? His goal is to bring us deadly woe. In other words, the devil is out to get us. He wants to ruin, destroy, and kill us. And Luther says in this stanza that there is no enemy greater than the devil here on this earth. I hope you realize there are a lot of people in the world today who do not believe in a real devil, a devil who is seeking to undo us. A lot of people think that's an old-fashioned idea which has no relevance. It has outlived its time. And there are plenty of people who do not believe in the reality of the devil or in that place which we call hell. But all around us, you and I can see evidence that the devil is real, that he is alive, and that he is flourishing. Who can deny the existence of evil when you look at the daily news? Crime is the devil's doing. We have violence in terms of worldwide terrorism and violence within our own cities here in the United States of America. We see the devil's presence in the sexual perversion of our times. Now, this does not absolve man of his responsibility for his actions, but the devil is the one who allies himself with our sinful natures and who leads us down those paths of temptation to sin. And the devil can exist of all places right here within the church. And that is evidenced by the church fights and the malicious gossip and the divisions and the schisms that often occur within the Christian church. Sometimes the conditions in the church are so bad that one wonders how a congregation can even call itself Christian any longer. And sometimes it would be good for each and every one of us as individuals to take a step back and to ask ourselves, on whose side are we fighting? This is the terrible enemy that we as Christians face in this world. How can we fight and prevail over an enemy that is so horrible? What chance does a Christian have against the devil? Well, that takes us to the second stanza of Luther's hymn. Let's sing it now. There you have the answer to that question, how can we stand up against the devil? This stanza gives us the good news that while we confront a very terrible enemy, we have an even more powerful warrior on our side, and that is Jesus. In order to win the battle with Satan, we do not turn to ourselves and rely upon our own strength or power. But we look to the power of Christ to help fight that battle for us and with us. He is the man of God's choosing, and he is on our side in this conflict. And then Luther describes Jesus even further. He says, who is this Jesus? He is the Lord Sabaoth. He is the Lord of hosts. He has plenty of angel warriors on his side to help fight that battle with him. And in this conflict, the good news is that Jesus is the victor over Satan. And how did he accomplish that? Well, you know. It all began when God sent his Son to this earth at Christmas. And in order to fight the devil, Jesus had to become a man so that he could meet Satan face to face in order to wage this combat. He identified himself with man. He was subject to all of the same temptations that you and I are subject to from the hand of Satan. And all throughout his earthly ministry, Jesus struggled with the devil. And the good news is he won every battle that he fought with that devil. He also won when the devil thought he had won by nailing him to the cross. Because Satan was there defeated by the cross of Calvary. Jesus gave that victorious cry from the cross, "It is finished," which means the bill has been paid in full. Your salvation is complete. The battle is won. Satan is defeated. And the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the grave on the third day was proof positive that God had accepted the sacrifice which his Son had offered for the sins of mankind, and that now sin, death, and the devil were utterly defeated. If Jesus won that conflict with the devil, why is it that the war still goes on? Why is the devil still alive and having such success with us? Why is sin seemingly running more rampant than ever in our world today? Well, Luther deals with that in the third stanza of A Mighty Fortress, which we sing now.
The deed is done. One little word can fell him.
Again, Luther reminds us of the fierceness of the enemy, his power, his might, his intent to destroy. And he has a lot of other devils at his disposal as well. And he does not fight alone against us. I fear that all too often we do not take the devil seriously. We do not go to the point that some people in our world do by saying that the devil does not exist. It's simply a figment of people's imaginations. But sometimes we play along with the devil. We think that we can do so without it harming us. Let me illustrate that with a humorous story which is told by Ken Davis, who is a Christian speaker. Ken Davis says it happened at a traffic light at the edge of town. A man gunned his engine of his huge Harley-Davidson motorcycle as he waited there at the stoplight, waiting for that light to change. It was a filthy rag which was fastened around his head, and from beneath that rag, there was a matted tangle of oily gray hair which spilled out down the back of his leather jacket, which had images of skulls and crossbones on it. And as he sat there waiting at that light, revving the engine of his Harley, an elderly man in a lime green moped pulled up alongside of him. And the ringy ding-ding of that moped was absolutely drowned out by the roaring thunder of the Harley. And that old man looked over and croaked to the guy on the Harley, "Boy, that's some motorcycle you've got there. Mind if I take a closer look?" And scowling from behind his oily beard, the biker gave him a once-over. "If that turns your crank, old-timer, then by all means go ahead and take a gander." And so the old man, being a little bit far-sighted, wanted to take in all the scenery of that motorcycle, so he leaned his face over while he was on his moped, and he examined every inch of that bike. And looking up after a while, the old man grinned, and he said to the biker, "I bet this motorcycle goes fast." And no sooner had he spoken those words than the light changed. And the biker thought, "I'll show this old geezer just how fast this machine can run." And he gave it full throttle, and within a matter of seconds, the speedometer on that Harley reached 99 miles per hour. And he chuckled with satisfaction. But all of a sudden, he looks in his rearview mirror and he sees this little dot, which is growing larger and larger, heading toward him, and something was gaining on him. What in the world could it be? He slowed a little bit to get a better look, and whatever the thing was, it flashed right past him and zoomed on ahead of him so that he couldn't even identify what it was. And it disappeared over the horizon in front of him, and then all of a sudden whipped around and came right back in his direction once again. And as it zipped past, he recognized the rider on that other vehicle. It's that little old man. And it was on his green moped. How in the world could that be? He took another look in his rearview mirror, and there was that speck again coming back at him. And he tried to speed up as fast as he could to get away from it, as it grew larger and larger, but he couldn't outrun it. And it was a moot point because within a few seconds, that moped slammed right into the rear of his Harley Davidson and the collision destroyed both bikes. And you could hear the impact for miles. The biker extricated himself from his Harley Davidson, that mangled, now beautiful object that he had had before, which was now a piece of junk. But then he realized the old man on his moped was faring even worse, because he lay there groaning beneath the blackened, smoking ruins of his moped. And now even the heart of that hardened Harley Davidson rider was softened and filled with compassion. And he knelt down beside that man and softly asked, "Is there anything I can do for you?" And the old man choked and coughed, and he replied, "Yeah, could you please unhook my suspenders from your motorcycle?" There are two dangers in telling you that story as an illustration in the sermon. Number one, it's the only thing you're going to remember from this sermon, which is not good. And number two, you're going to sit there chuckling for the rest of the sermon as you rethink that story again and again. But I told you that story because I think it's what Luther is describing. Why does the devil still have such influence with us in this world today? It's because sometimes you and I attach our suspenders to him. And we let him pull us and drag us around in this world. We would never purposely attach our suspenders to anything so dangerous, right? And yet many of us are willing to lean over and take a closer look. And that's what's so insidious about sin. It looks so good to us. It catches our eye. And the thunder of sin's engine seems to hold the promise of high adventure and intense thrills that our little moped of Christianity could never really provide. And it may not be our intention to hop on and get a ride on that Harley Davidson of sin. But let me just get a little bit closer look. Can't hurt anybody to look, right? Let me feel the power. Let me smell the leather. What harm could could be done in that. I'll tell you what harm could be done. Because this world in which we live is littered with the mangled lives of men and women who never, ever intended to get hooked. They only wanted to take a closer look at the shiny colors of some forbidden sin. There is the husband who never intended to lose his family, but he decided it was okay to flirt along the boundaries of adultery. And now he pulls himself from the smoking wreckage of his marriage. There's the teenager who never intended to seriously use drugs, but saw no harm at all in experimenting. And now his life is twisted and disfigured by addiction. There's the woman who was willing to skim just a small sum of money each year from the company that she worked for, because how could a few dollars be wrong? And she was tired of driving the old Ford when all of her friends were riding around in BMWs. She never intended to end up in jail. Or how about that man whose moral restraints finally give way as a result of that first harmless peek? Only a quick glimpse or two at those glossy pornographic images available on the internet. How far does this go? He asks. And in the months that followed, like the old man on that moped, he never saw the light change. Before he knew it, he was dragged faster and faster and further than he ever thought was possible. We learn from this stanza of Luther's hymn that God has provided us with a weapon which is certain to defeat the devil. And that weapon that we have for scaring the devil out of people is the dynamite of God's word. Note that last line of that third stanza. One little word can fell him. That is an amazing testimony on the part of Martin Luther to his faith and trust in the power of God's word. The devil cannot stand the truth of God's word. He flees from the light of God's truth because he is the prince of darkness. And God's word is the thing that can be your weapon day by day as you face those temptations of the devil. You don't have to say, the devil made me do it. You cannot say, I couldn't help it because the temptation was too great. You don't have to yield to temptation. You don't have to attach your suspenders to the devil's lies and his temptations. You have the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God at your disposal. And that sword of the Spirit will defeat the devil. Friends, if that is true about God's word, and we know it is true, why do you and I neglect the Bible? If the word of God is our weapon against evil, shouldn't we be reading it and studying it each and every day of our lives, digesting it inwardly, learning how to use it as a weapon to defeat the devil's temptations? You see, if the devil is having his way with us, maybe it's because we're neglecting to use the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. So far in this hymn, we have seen that while the war with Satan has been won by Christ, the battle still goes on between the devil and Christians. We have a God-given weapon that is sure to defeat Satan, if only we will make use of it. The very last stanza of Luther's hymn deals with the possible consequences which might come as a result of our fight with Satan. If you're going to a fight, Luther says, you can expect that you may get hurt. You might even get killed. That is what he's telling us. Let's sing that final stanza of the hymn.
Still shall let remain. and do what they will. Hate, steal, hurt, or kill, though all may be gone, our victory is won. Our kingdom ours forever.
There, look at the price of fighting with Satan. There are some people who think that if you believe in God, you should have everything going your way in life. You should have success, you should have health, you should have happiness, you should no longer have any troubles at all. Why should you and I expect skies always blue and flower-strewn highways as we walk through this life when we read in the scripture of the faithful people of the past who have suffered severe trials and sacrifices as believers in God? Daniel, for example, was thrown into a den of lions. Jeremiah was lowered into a pit and left to die. Peter, as tradition has it, was crucified upside down on a cross. William Tyndale was burned at the stake with a copy of the Bible hung around his neck because he dared to translate that Bible into the language of the people. The price for our being a Christian warrior against Satan is that we might become the victim of the fray. You may lose your eyesight. You may get cancer and die an early death. You might be fired. Your friends might desert you. You might have evil stories told about you. Your family might break up. All kinds of things. Bad things can happen to a Christian simply because he or she is a Christian, and the devil fights vehemently against us. But in this hymn, Luther says, it's all worth it. It's worth it because in the end, God's truth remains, and his kingdom lasts forever. Wickedness, sin, death, and the devil will ultimately be destroyed by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And his faithful people will win. We will win to reign forever with him in love and in truth. Four short verses, but Luther packed a lot into those verses. I think you can see why this now has become a hymn which is sung by millions upon millions of people for nearly 500 years now. And so on this anniversary of the Reformation, we have sung it again with confidence and with strength, because it sums up all that we as Lutherans believe and feel. And every time you and I are able to sing that hymn once again, we are affirming what the psalmist has written. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Amen.